Oh, hi there. Albert here, proud owner of Albert and Sons of the town of Olark. You don't know me yet, but you will soon. Well, I'm just here to let you know that this podcast is NSFW. That means that there's a lot of cussing, and there's a lot of violence and sexual innuendos. And also, I want to let you know to stay tuned at the end for a special treat. Thank you. Hey, welcome everybody. I'm Chris. I usually play Delhi the Packard on We Suck at D&D, but today I am DMing for the first time. Circumstances have prevented now all of our crew, except me, from being here to record our regular show, so we're doing a one-shot, and thank you very much to all three of these wonderful people who have come to guest star and rescue this week's episode. So,
hopefully.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. So, I've got Alexa, Gavin, and Jess, and I will let them go ahead and tell you what they're playing.
I'm Alexa, and I'm playing Leaf Stoned Shrub, and I am a barbarian.
I am Gavin, and I will be playing Ruby Tuesday, the Fire Genasi. That's a soft G. Genasi, Ranger level one. And I'm super excited to be here, and shout out to Ray Ray and the fam.
I am Taito. I am a Tabaxi Bard.
Everybody here, so sticking, like Alexa says, sticking true to the We Suck at D&D name, this is thrown together so last minute. Some very unfortunate things have happened, and so we're just going to do the best that we can to provide you guys with a very excellent show tonight. Okay, well, Jess has never played D&D.
In my life.
Gavin, you've played a little bit, right?
I've dabbled. I've played actually in this format, so I think this would probably be more familiar than if we busted out some tabletop stuff.
Yeah. And Alexa, you've played but mostly just pen and paper, right?
Yeah. I've dipped my toe in the D&D pool.
Lots of excuses right off the bat.
Without further ado, let's get started. So this is what I'm saying right now is pertaining only to Gavin and Alexa. All right. Here we go. You find yourself in a dark, damp, musty cavern. You set your torch in a crack on the stone wall as you help your companion through the hole that you yourself have just entered. As you help them rise to their feet, you hear a noise from the far side of the cavern. You spin quickly around to see three goblins advancing on you. Roll initiative. So Gavin, go ahead and roll.
Oh, okay. I'm going to roll initiative. So, 5.
Okay, so 5 for Gavin. Alexa, what'd you get?
23.
Damn. Okay, 23.
You go ahead and lead this charge.
Killing it.
So, Alexa, you are first. You have two goblins advancing on you. I should say your character names. Leaf, there are two goblins coming towards you and your partner.
All right, I'd like to step in front of my partner with my massive 23. And I'd like to have my... I think I have a great axe.
Okay.
Possibly. I'd like to pull that out if I could. I think it's
great.
I think it's fantastic. I'd like to take a swipe if possible.
Okay, go ahead and give me an attack roll.
Oh, okay. I was caught by surprise, so that would be a 4.
Oh, okay. So you take that. You step in front of your partner, and
she looks so confident.
Yeah. So Ruby takes a step back to let you go ahead, and you guys kind of connect ankle to heel, and you trip a little bit as you go to swing, and you completely miss the goblins.
Okay. Did she miss me as well?
She also missed you as well.
Good. Good. Well, we're back at square one. That's fine.
So next is goblin number one, and you just swung at him, he's actually going to take a swipe at you. So he is going to swing with a 4. Does that break your armor? Beat your armor? Your AC?
Yeah.
I highly doubt it.
No, it's a 15, so okay. We're good.
You swung your axe and completely missed that goblin, and it just kind of like as a reaction, he swiped at you, but he also missed because he was kind of dipping out of the way. So he misses, and then the other goblin is going to try to get around that goblin to swipe at you as well, since you're right in the front. And that is a 11. And that you said is 15.
Mm-hmm.
So he misses. So in his attempt to swing his weapon at you, he trips over the other one and kind of stumbles and misses you as well. And Ruby, you're seeing this absolute chaos of a fight that nobody can hit anybody happening. What do you do?
Are we in character now?
Yes.
I don't think I can commit. I'm watching. I'm gonna go for it, you know. So I'm sitting back and I'm watching the whole thing unfold in front of my eyes, and I see, you know, a lot of confidence from my teammate, not a lot of competence, but I'm trying to make up for it. I'm gonna gather everything I have. Out of character, real quick. Are we still in a crack in the wall?
You're right outside of the crack in the wall.
Okay, so we're in an opening now.
Yes,
I see. I was thinking we were just fist fighting in a phone booth for a minute.
No.
And no one can make contact.
that's why it's so funny that we're all just headbutting and like flailing about, just locking lips on accident. I'm gonna pull out my longbow. I'm gonna take a shot at Goblin number one. I got an arrow with his name on it.
Go ahead and give me an attack roll. So you roll a d20 plus your... you should have like a hit bonus on that weapon.
All right, I rolled a 4.
Plus anything?
Plus my attack bonus is...
It doesn't matter because I guarantee your bonus is not 11. So you shoot, but maybe you're a little bit afraid to hit your partner who is kind of tangled up with them right now. So you kind of shoot a little high, and it misses off the wall in the back. So you actually miss as well. And I am opening up your sheets right now.
This is a cavalcade of errors.
Yeah. So far, it has been a complete mess. But there's a chance for you to come back from this, and it will be Leaf's turn next.
That's an 18.
18 hits.
You're damn right, it's an 18.
Yeah. Watching my partner try so valiantly is really the fire's back in me.
Okay.
For this team,
if there's anything, this team's not short on its confidence.
Yeah.
So you take that so what are you doing? You swinging your axe?
Yeah. I'm trying to maybe do like a backswing.
Okay. Go ahead and roll damage. So that would be, you have an axe, right? It's not equipped.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's fun.
Oh, wait, maybe you don't have an axe and it's just an unarmed attack at the moment.
Oh, okay. When I said axe, that's actually what I call my fist. It's great axe. So.
She's got two tattoos that say great and axe.
Okay. So.
And on one hand, she's got way too many fingers.
Okay, so that's two damage. She's got way too many fingers.
Yeah.
Okay, so Leaf, you take great an axe, and you walk straight up to that first goblin, and you just punch him straight in the face, and that does two damage. He takes that, and he kind of stumbles backwards, and then it's actually his turn next, so he's going to use his movement to recover, and then he's going to come at you for hitting him. Just 10? That doesn't hit, right? So this puny little goblin, from just getting punched in the face, he comes and he's seeing double, and he swings at the one he thought was you, but it actually wasn't, and you just see him kind of stumble off to the side there. And the second goblin, he heard that arrow fly over his head and smash against the wall, so he's actually locked on you. He's going to use his movement to get up to you, Ruby, and he is going to swing.
That's the end of me waiting in the wings.
That is a... That's a 12. Does that hit?
Shame for that goblin. because my armor's a 13.
Oof. So he gets real close, but you're just too dexterous, and you move right out of the way.
The old shoulder shell technique.
Yeah, you dip right as he swings that scimitar at you. And it's actually your turn next, and you got a goblin right in front of you, and then I'm, behind that goblin.
And I'm furious at this point.
Okay.
He's right on top of me. I'm going to bust out that short sword. I'm going to swing it at him with all I got, and I'm going to roll for that. I really need to organize. All right, I rolled an 11 with an attack of...
You said you rolled an 11, right? It's plus 4, 15. That actually hits. So go ahead and roll your damage, which is going to be a 1d6 plus 2. So roll a d6.
All right. Got a 4.
And plus 2, that's 6 damage. Okay, so he takes a swing at you, and you just nimbly dodge out of the way. And then you whip out your short sword, and you straight up stab him through the chest. And that he takes massive damage from that. And he falls to one knee. He's not dead, but he is looking real bad. Okay? So now it is back to the top of the order, Leaf.
All right.
Send him home. Send him home, Leaf.
Oh, that's a 10.
A 10 plus your...
13. Oh, 13 no, sorry. Yeah.
13. Let me see. Right? Yeah, 13. So that goblin came to punch at you, and you went to swing at that goblin, but the goblin actually dipped, and you guys were just straight up in a classic boxing match, just weaving in and out of each other's punches, and you cannot hit each other, and it's actually impressive. Your partner's impressed. Roll for impression. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm going to roll for impression. I'm going to do it. That's a 16. I'm extremely impressed. I'm over here. I'm beaming ear to ear.
Your partner is rather
I'm borderline head over heels at this point.
Okay. So that goblin is now going to... He just dipped your punch, and now he's going to swing at you. That is a 15. So that is your armor class, right? Mm-hmm. So he hits, pretty sure. So he takes a... So your partner is so impressed, he starts clapping. And you look over and you give him a big thumbs up right as that goblin takes his scimitar and swings it at you. And he hits 4.
And mind you...
5.
I have a bow. I never put my bow up or my short sword, so I'm just clapping.
You're
with
clapping
my
them
weapons.
Together.
Yeah. it was together. Yeah, and that's on me. That's my bad. That's very distracting.
So that goblin actually hits you for 5 damage. He kind of cuts through part of your armor and stings a little bit. And now the goblin that is very bloodied is right in front of you, Gavin. And it is going to try to just swing that scimitar up from you from where it's at. I'm going to give it disadvantage because it's really hurt and it's on one knee.
Do your worst. Be the last thing you ever do. Make it count.
Does 9 hit?
No.
Okay, then that it's not going to hit. So it swings at you, but it's too far out. It's just kind of on its dying leg. Doesn't know what it's doing. And you kind of look at it like, what the hell? And it's your turn.
I'm going to cleave his head clean off right now.
Okay.
Actually, you know what? Produce flame. We're going to really send him home.
Oh, yep. Okay.
Yep. Wait, no, hold on. That's on self. That's on me. Never mind.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yep. Let me just catch myself on fire for the finale. I'm going for the short sword again. And then it's a 4.
Plus anything? Plus
plus whatever it was last time. Plus
4. 8. That does not. So the goblin swings the sword at you, and even though he's a little far away, you were kind of looking at your partner, so you jump back a little bit, and as a reaction, you swing your sword, but you're also too far away. So you both just kind of swung a sword into the air.
No, it's really just compassion on my part. I hate to see suffering. He gave me a look, the puppy eyes.
So that goblin and you, now that you've swung your swords at each other, you look at each other, that goblin coughs up a little bit of blood, and it is now Leaf's turn.
It's borderline awkward at this point.
No,
I could catch myself on fire if you'd like.
And I'll throw you. I'm very strong.
Oh, my God.
All right. Can I do that?
Wield me.
Yeah, you can, sure, if Gavin, if Ruby wants to catch on fire.
Yeah, I'm not going to just be dead weight. I'll help a little.
Okay, so Gavin, are you, Ruby, are you casting Produce Flame?
This is going completely out of order, okay. But I feel like we just need to go for it.
Yeah, we're just going to get this encounter over with. Okay, so Ruby, you set yourself a flame as... Actually, make a strength check for me.
A 15? Oh, no. Yeah, 15.
Okay, so 10's average. I'd say 15. You could pick up Leaf. I mean, sorry, Ruby. You could pick up Ruby, who's not that big.
I'm picking myself up emotionally.
You give yourself a quick motivational speech, pick yourself up, and then you pick up Ruby. And go ahead and make a ranged attack for me. So just do a d20. You don't have
17, 18, 19,
oh.
20.
Oh.
Not a nat 20.
Oh, okay. Not 20.
Not 20, but yeah.
So you throw Ruby straight at the goblin that you've been boxing with, and they connect. So go ahead, and what I want you to do is
who
give
rolls
me,
at this point?
You both are gonna roll.
Yeah, I feel like I'm part of this now.
So, Leaf, you give me a D4, and Ruby, you give me. Let me look at your fire. A D8. Dang. You give me a D8. Yeah.
All right. A 7.
Okay. A 2.
A 2. Okay. So.
I feel like halfway through, somewhere along the lines, all of the motivation was just kind of transferred in the throw.
Okay. So this is what happens. So Leaf, you pick up Ruby and you just straight overhand throw, and they connect with that goblin. That goblin, from the impact, goes down and just bursts into flames, because apparently goblins are very flammable. And they cook up, and it's like the quickest thing you've ever seen burn. Like, they just burn into a pile of ash. And that other goblin saw how much damage that you guys just dealt to that. Like, they just saw this crazy thing you did, and just takes the sword and stabs themselves, and the fight is over. The other goblin is dead. They only had one hit point left, so that goblin is dead, and you guys have won.
Hey, thanks for throwing me real fucking hard.
Oh, you're extremely aerodynamic. I've never seen a person so aerodynamic.
It's what my father always told me.
So all of a sudden, the room lights up. Before, the only light that was there was the light from your torch. But the whole room lights up.
I was the torch.
And you look and you see one whole wall that previously was covered in dark is actually a room with three judges sitting at a panel. A tall elven woman named Alara stands up and says, "Congratulations on your victory. Your performance was quite entertaining. And you two handled yourself well. Assuming that you pass the written final exam, the Heroes Guild would be delighted to have you two on board. All of your performance scores up to this point in the tryouts have been through the roof. But we have to view the remaining teams. You know how it is. But I think it's safe to say that you two will be our rookie team. For the first time in 50 years.
I'm going to nudge Leaf right around this time, and I'm going to just be like, she's got kind of a weird cadence to her voice, almost like she's reading something, doesn't she?
Yeah, is she staring down at a thesaurus in her lap?
I'm pretty sure that fight went on for quite a long time. She had time to prepare this, and she really didn't do it. Anyways, I don't think we're the judges here.
Okay, so the scene sets on that as you guys receive that wonderful news from one of the judges who is thoroughly impressed with your ingenuity, and we skip forward to modern day, where you have just graduated the academy. Please,
oh, we were
switch.
In a flashback that whole time.
Exactly. Please switch to your level 5 characters.
Whoa!
I hope I have weapons.
Skip forward to modern day. You two have just graduated from your academy, And your commanding officer, Sergeant Gorb, tells you, "Congratulations on graduating the academy. Today you start your lives as heroes. You have been delegated to the rookie division until you have improved enough to go on missions with the big hitters." I forgot that part. "Now on to business. We have already assigned you a mission to the town of Olark. It has been having issues with nighttime invasions of the undead." This hurts my throat. "Your job is to go there and find the problem and neutralize it. This is your bard."
Does it sound like he needs a glass of water? Should we get him some?
You should hear him when he's not giving a speech. He's all over the place. His voice goes up and down. It's insane if he doesn't warm up.
"If you two are done jibber-jabbering, this is your bard. Her name is Taito. She will be documenting all of your experiences from here on out. Remember, you're in the public eye now. Everything you do will be documented and told in tales across the land. Do not give the Heroes Guild a bad name. Good luck. Remember your training. If a higher member of the guild shows up, listen to them. Goodbye." Sergeant Gorb walks away as quickly as if he knows is no longer interested in the conversation at hand. What do you guys want to do?
I want to greet Taito. But before I do that, I just want to put in a little extra thing. Does he have to say goodbye when he's done with every speech that he does? It's weird. He could just stop talking.
I thought you're supposed to say, like, over when you're done.
Anything's better than goodbye. It just seems like he's hanging up the phone. How do we communicate long distances here?
Yeah, you guys have stones of far speech.
He's hanging up the stone of far speech. That's what it was. Sorry. My dad used to call it a phone.
This whole time that you two are talking, Taito is just standing there, looking at you.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
We kind of got our own thing going on here, so this is going to take some getting used to. My name is Ruby, Ruby Tuesday. This is my good friend Leif, and I'll let her take it from here because I don't believe in speaking on others' behalf. I think that's very rude.
Wow. I'm Leif, Stoned Shrub. Just so you know, I know a lot of people talk about my name. My parents were hippies. And I'm a barbarian. I'll be the muscle today, just so you know. It's really nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you.
So, would you guys like to set off to Olark?
Not quite just yet.
Okay.
There's a big ceremony. I think we should all probably head to the local pub, have one just to celebrate. I'll roll for that here.
Okay, go ahead and roll to see if you convince everybody to go have a drink before setting off to Olark.
All right.
Which is directly against Gorb's command.
Which is very strange because it seems to me that everyone's just kind of looking at me like, how are you going to spin this? I rolled a 3. Let's go do a quest. Let's go do that.
So you suggest everybody goes to the local pub, and then the other two say, let's go to Olark, and they start walking off, and you just have to trail behind them at this point.
Yeah. Your head down. So it was like I said, hey, let's go to the pub. You know what? Never mind. I think that's a bad idea.
Let's go to the pub, you look over and you see Gorb just standing there with his arms crossed looking at you directly.
And then he looks at me and says, goodbye.
Goodbye. So you guys get the idea and you head off to Olark. Okay. So I am going to share this map that I have made of Olark with you guys. So let me share my screen.
So Bard, real quick, I'll never forget it again. What's your name?
Me?
The Bard.
Oh, Taito.
Taito.
I think.
Do you mind if I call you Tito? I'm a big Jackson 5 fan.
I do mind.
All right, I'll call you Taito.
I don't know what's happening, but let me move this.
You shared your screen, that's why they're small.
Okay, let me move this photo over here since it's decided to share my screen.
That's how it works.
Okay.
Do you not want to share your screen?
No, it's fine. Okay, so you guys can see the map, yes?
Yes.
Wow, what kind of name is Richard?
That is Richard, or Dix for short, weaponry and sporting goods.
Oh, that's pretty fun.
So you guys arrive at the town of Olark midday. And basically, you just get there and you have free reign to do what you want.
Well, if I can interject, I'm not trying to be the voice of the party. Obviously, that didn't go well last time. But it seemed like we had a little bit of a mix-up with weaponry earlier. So if we want to go check out Richards, I wouldn't be opposed to that. However, I mean, Albert and Sons Market, I heard they have great chicken.
I'm honestly pretty hungry, and okay. I could go for some food.
Afterwards, though, can we go check out Richards? I just haven't met a Richard I didn't like, you know?
Same. I really okay. like Richard.
You guys all head to Albert and Sons Market, and you walk in, and you see various edible goods everywhere, maybe some home goods, maybe some decorations, some cooking utensils, firewood, big cast iron pots and whatnot. It's just your typical things you would need to for your house. And there is a let's say 5'8" older male behind the counter. And he says, "Oh, howdy there. Welcome to Albert and Sons. I'm Albert, and my son's somewhere else right now. But let me know if you need any help."
All right. So, Leaf, you said you were hungry. I spoke without thinking about it. What did you have in mind for some grub, as they say? Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I was hungry for food, but now that I've seen this man, and I can only imagine what his son probably looks like, I'm hungry for that. So
you're right,
I think
mind.
I'm going to... Yeah. I think we should go talk to him.
All right, if you want to lead the charge on that, I'm not... My charisma's not exactly skyrocketing. also, I think the muscle should always lead. It worked out well... Back, remember a long time ago when we fought them goblins?
I sure do.
And remember how extremely efficient we were?
Yeah.
It's because you
especially with me leading.
Exactly.
It went.
That's what
I remember that going yep. very well for
yep.
us.
Yep. This is why we're best friends. Taito, you're gonna catch on to all of this. I promise. You're gonna be one of us before you know it.
I don't know if I want that.
You do.
Okay, so. So the three of you walk up to...
Saunter.
The three of you saunter up to past the chickens and past the pigs that are inside.
I do have a high-level saunter.
Right up to Albert. And he says, oh, hello there. How can I help you?
He's from Wisconsin now. Before, he sounded like he was from Texas.
Oh, I don't know what... To be honest, I don't know where I'm from. Just here, at Olark.
Olark's kind of a melting pot.
Yeah. When you were using that accent before, I mean, it was really doing it for me. But, I mean, now that I'm here, I'm not so sure.
To be honest with you, I regret it a little bit.
No, he's doing my voice. I don't think Albert knows who he is. He's screwing me up, in fact.
You guys get the idea that Albert might be a changeling.
Oh,
perhaps he could change into something more delicious.
Well, what can I do for you?
I'm sorry.
You guys are.
I'm so sorry. Like, the sexual charisma that is just bouncing around Albert and Sons Market is, I mean, palpable.
Yeah. In fact, Taito, you actually can feel that they are. About to undress each other at any point.
Hold on just a second. I look over at Leaf. I don't think you were ever going to eat this guy to begin with. I think this was an entire sexual endeavor from start to finish.
Okay. I'll level with you. I've heard that Albert and his sons, or son, I've heard that they're kind of the talk of the town. That they are the most delicious thing in this entire market. And so I kind of wanted to see for myself. Okay. I just want to put that out there.
Well, I don't know about that, but...
Oh, and you're modest, too.
I'm starting to pick up something here. You all must be the heroes. that we're sent here to take care of the problems.
Oh, that's us. And if that does it for you, then that's definitely us.
Well,
I'm going to go look at the bread aisle.
Okay. Okay. Well, let me know if you need anything. Here's the thing. I don't know a fucking accent to
do. Minnesota.
Just switch it.
Like...
Switch it every sentence. That's fine with me.
Okay, now.
I
don't know if you guys are looking for food and whatnot, but let me give you this bit of advice. I am so lost. Sorry, I didn't mean for that to come out. Okay. I don't have anything that I can do for you as far as helping you out with the problems around town, if that's what you're here for. But maybe the mayor of Western now. Maybe the mayor can help you out. I shouldn't have drank whiskey before I did this.
Can you tell me maybe a little bit more about this trouble that you're having? And then maybe later we could go get into some trouble?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, I'm sure that you've been debriefed, but at night, around nighttime...
Perhaps you could debrief her.
You know, there's not good airflow in here, but I'm feeling pretty hot.
Also, I found a nice sourdough.
around nighttime, we get overrun with undead. There's basically no nightlife here. We have to close everything down. Otherwise, they just kind of bust in and attack people. That's basically it. There's nothing more to it.
Okay, I come back from the bread aisle with a honey wheat and a sourdough that I had procured. And I overheard that part. And I say, wow, he was pretty cavalier about the undead walking around at night, wasn't he?
Also, no sense in beating around the bush.
Speaking of beating around the bush, did you guys fuck while I was gone?
Oh, buddy, that around here we don't ask them kind of questions, but no.
I'll take that as a yes. Anywho. Undead, you say?
Yeah. There's a lot of undead. I don't really know, but I would say that's probably the best place to start.
All right, just a couple questions before we head off then, bread in hand. Any idea where the undead might be coming from, or possibly who might be sending them? Are they coming up out of the ground? Or are they coming from the woods nearby? Are there woods nearby? We're new. Fill us in.
Well, as you probably noticed, there's lots of woods all around, but we don't really know where they're coming from. We stay out of the area. They just come through the trees at nighttime, and we don't go out. That is all. I always let you know when I'm finished with my sentence.
Wait, and we appreciate that.
Screen sharing is passed.
You guys can still see the map, right?
Right, it's a still still image.
Wow, I thought that said pass. That was my eyes for you.
All right, weird accent-having man that I can't quite pinpoint. Possibly from the northeast. Possibly from... some Icelandic country, not sure. Anyways,
there's no sense in guessing.
All right, we're going to say Nordic for now, and we're going to go check out the mayor. I got you some bread leaf. Hope that's going to be enough. Carbs are good for you in times like these. Where the hell is our bard?
You know what? I didn't plan money, so just go ahead and take the bread as my thank you for saving our city, our little town, village, if you will.
I haven't done anything yet other than sexual favors thus far.
Well, I hope you do it.
Next time, I would really appreciate it if you would wingwoman me when I'm trying to, you know, I felt like I was just...
Yeah, for like...
Ruby
for
walked
sure.
away.
And you're a bard. Play music. Do something.
Yeah, you could have set the mood. for me.
I don't even know what a bard is.
They're like a musical, like, storyteller.
Oh, good to know.
Okay. Okay, so are you guys
we're
going
to check out the... I guess we'll have to put Richards on the back burner for now.
Okay. Yeah. So you guys are going to the mayor's house.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys stroll over to the mayor's house, and it was midday when you got here, and it is starting to get darker. The sun is heading down towards the horizon. And so you guess that it is about just before dusk. And so you reach the mayor's house.
I'm going to knock on the door politely.
Okay. That's a perfect way to enter a mayor's house. I say go for the knock.
All right. So you knock.
Should we
knock
roll
on
for
the
that?
Door.
Yeah, do I roll for knock? I either punch the door through or...
Sure, go ahead and roll for knock.
Just feel like it's been a minute since dice hit the table.
Oh dear, I got a 2. Oh,
okay, so you knock and it's very quiet. You basically don't knock, you just kind of tap it with your finger.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and roll for knocking and see if I can't fix the situation. She's still a little bit... Eat more bread.
I'll be over here eating the bread.
You need carbs.
All right, I got a 9, so I'd say that's adequate for a knock.
Yeah, you do. So 10 is average, so you knock averagely. You knock very averagely.
That's what my father always told me. My father always said, if there's two things I know about you, you're very aerodynamic, and you can knock with the most average of them.
So you knock, and it sounds decent. So you guys take a step back and you wait, and absolutely nothing happens.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and direct my attention to the bard now. Taito, play a tune for us.
What would you like to hear?
What's that good one that I always hear on the Far Speech radio? Mayor, come outside, please.
Oh, I love that song.
Yeah, so go ahead. Let's hear your Mayor, come outside, please.
So go ahead and perform Mayor, come outside, please.
Mayor, please come outside.
Just the way I remember it.
You all turn and look at the door, and nothing happens.
Fuck.
You guys are starting to get the idea that the mayor is not actually home.
Yoo-hoo.
I don't think that the mayor is home.
You can try to peer through the window if you want.
I have 50 feet of rope, and it looks like the mayor's house has a pretty sweet chimney.
It does.
I'm going to try to form a lasso. This seems like we're getting into it, so I might have to roll for that.
Yes, so you will need to make a acrobatics check for that.
Can I try the door?
Yeah, you can try the door.
Just so, that seems like
you're
a
not,
lot.
How about you do that first? And that's why we're such good friends, because you think of the simplest things first, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, all right. So
really keep me grounded.
Yeah, I got you. I'm going to jiggle the knob, if I can, and put my shoulder into it, maybe.
Today. Okay. Yeah. You're putting your shoulder into it? Okay, yeah, give me a roll, a strength check.
Did you see the first thing that she's jiggled today?
Not the first thing.
I got a 5.
Okay,
six.
So instead of just trying the door, you also tried to slam your shoulder into it, and you bounce off of it, and you take 1 damage, because it was a 5. And it was not a good roll. Actually, you know what? No, you don't take a damage. You just bounce off of it. You didn't roll a 1. I'm not going to punish you for that.
And we've discerned that door is in fact locked, or did I just open it so poorly? Okay.
It's locked.
All right, get your rope.
Okay, so rope time?
Yep.
All right, going to roll for, what is it, acrobatics? Or
acrobatics.
Wait, what if I try and throw you? Can I throw you again through the window?
Is there a window?
There is a window.
Wait, hold on. Is the window ground level? Do I have to be thrown here?
There is a... Let's see. I'm looking at the... There is a window on the side, and then there are 2 windows on the second floor in the back.
All right, let's try first floor window. Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It, ever since the goblin thing... I mean, it was a tremendous victory, but...
No one's being thrown.
At this moment.
Okay. So what are you guys doing?
I'm going to fling walking around to that.
Oh, we're going to walk through the window. Sorry.
Yeah, we're doing that.
Real excited with my rope.
Okay, so you guys walk around to that window and the shutters are closed.
Would you guys like some music during this?
Please.
Yes.
What kind of music are you like feeling?
What's
maybe some kind of Mission Impossible theme music?
Okay, yeah, thank you. I will put in Mission Impossible. Actually, I'll look for a knockoff Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
A knockoff version of Mission Impossible is playing.
Don't worry, guys. I got you.
I should have been the bard. I should have been the bard. I have a guitar right here. I probably could have whipped something up.
I said
that's
that.
True. Okay, so you guys walk around to that side window, and it's the shutters are closed.
All right. Rope time? Or do you want to hurt your shoulder again?
Can I at least try and pry them open first before we...
I guess?
I just don't,
this is how people get hurt.
I don't want you... You're about to get on the roof. I don't want you to get hurt. All right.
No, checks out.
I'm rolling for prying the shutters open.
Okay, give me a strength check. Yeah.
Natural 20.
Natural 20. Okay.
Yes.
So you grab those shutters, and they are actually they open from the inside, but you pull them the opposite direction. You rip them out through the window, and then you notice on the inside of the shutters, actually, there are metal bars, and you get the idea that this house is, that maybe all the houses here, because of the problem of the undead, may be very, very tightly locked down.
Oh dear.
I'm also getting the feeling that maybe going down the chimney is probably going to be, it's going to probably have the same outcome. I don't think this mayor wants us in there. I'm getting the idea that maybe we should just go look for the mayor.
Yeah, you guys get the idea that the mayor is has his house very well locked down.
Okay, perfect. Richards?
So he's not in there. We're just breaking and entering. We're doing a B&E right now.
Not even that. We're just kind of fucking up his house.
He hasn't answered the door, and you just ripped his shutters off his window.
All right, Richards it is.
Okay. So you guys make your way over to Richards.
Teach him to not be home.
So you guys make your way over to Richards, and the sun is setting, and it's becoming dark. And as you get to Richards' weaponry and sporting goods, you actually see Richard locking up the door and heading to his house. He's locking up the door as you guys get there.
I knew we shouldn't have spent so much time at the mayor's house. All right.
So he's locking up the door as you get there.
All right. I'm going to sit this one out. Maybe, you know what? The bard hasn't really initiated any conversation.
What do you want me to do?
Hey, go talk to Dick. Or don't. I mean...
They're closing. He's currently locking up the door as you guys walk up behind him.
Looks like I'm actually going to take it. Excuse me, good sir. Question, if I may.
Yeah. How's it going? I haven't seen you guys around here.
Yeah, we're new. We're looking for the mayor. We've already met Albert.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you've talked to old Albert. What a weird accented guy that is.
And
love him to death, though. Love him to death.
Yeah. So this is old. What is this town called?
This is Olark. You guys are in Olark.
I was going to call it.
Are you just Olark? You just passing through, or what's going on?
We heard about the undead. We're here to try to fix that problem for you. We were trying to get a hold of the mayor. Do you know where he's at? Also,
okay.
Is it Richard, or what do you prefer?
Richard, Dick, whatever. A lot of people don't like to say two-syllable words around here, so they just call me Dick. Dick's Weaponry, Sporting Goods.
Two syllables. I'm with that. I like three syllables, many. One syllables. It's too much. I don't even like to use the word many.
It's syllables. Yeah, it's too many. All right. So, the mayor, he, you know, most of the time during the day, you can find him over at Buffalo Wild Tavern having a drink, but... about now is about the time everyone's starting to close down, lock themselves in their houses, you know. If you guys know what's good for you, yeah, wouldn't be out here during the nighttime.
Richard, not to be rude or anything, but we don't have anywhere to go, so I don't ever want to go back into Albert and Sons. The mayor's house is locked down. Is there a place we can stay?
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
Wait, hold on. I retract everything I just said. We're not hiding. That's not... I've got Muscles McGee McHorny Pants to my right, and and the world's best singer to my left, and...
Well, here, I'll tell you what.
We're not going anywhere.
I will... We still got a little bit of time. How about you head over to Buffalo Wild Tavern, see if you can catch the mayor on his way out, and I'll go unlock the guard tower for you. Hold on. Yeah, I'll go unlock the guard tower for you. I think I've got that key still. I used to do the guard duty. I don't do it anymore. But I'll head over there. I'll unlock that for you. Then I'm gonna run home. You guys try to catch the mayor. Talk to him. And then when it's dark, you guys take shelter in that guard tower. Take the night off, you know. I wouldn't want anyone to get caught outside during the
mind getting a drink before we go to the guard tower.
Perfect.
They have drinks at Buffalo Wild Tavern?
Of course they do, but you better hurry.
Perfect. Richard, you've been an amazing help. I'm so happy I could mount you.
To mount Buffalo. Me?
Yeah. You never mounted a good Richard?
Oh, well, I'm just going to assume where you come from, that means meat. But it was a pleasure to mount you too, buddy.
It's like a good hug.
With your legs.
He actually opens his arms for, like, he wasn't sure if you're asking for a hug, so he kind of, like, opens his arms, like, hesitantly.
All right, I'm going to roll for a hug.
Okay, roll for a hug.
16, that's going to be a hell of a hug.
16, yeah, you give him a real good hug.
I mount that, Richard.
Yeah, you act, and Leaf, you can see on his face over Ruby's shoulder that he has this surprise, like, that was a nice hug face.
And I also played like some really, really great music.
And the bard like pulled out the lute and started playing a few chords of just decent hugging music, which I can't wait to edit.
Mounting music.
These are the relationships that we build that will come back later. I promise.
Okay, so that. Richard says, "All right, well, great hug. I'm gonna go unlock the guard tower." And I'll see you guys in the morning if you want to talk some more.
Perhaps we can have another hug.
Perhaps. And he hastily heads towards the direction of the guard tower, which, as you can see, is past the Buffalo Wild Tavern. All right.
We're gonna give it, like, I don't know, 10 seconds just so we're not following from an awkward distance.
And walking in the same direction. Right. That's exactly.
Especially after you mounted him that way.
Well, I mean, if anything, there's more incentive to be with him after that good of a hug. But that's all right. We're kind of doing our own thing. We're not trying to have Richard, you know, penetrate the team. So let's. I think this was good enough conversation. Let's head over to...
We should get going. Thirsty for a beer.
Okay, so the three of you walk to Buffalo Wild Tavern, and it's just as you expected. People are leaving, and the owner of Buffalo Wild Tavern is locking the doors. So do you want to make – you can either go talk to the owner or the person locking the doors. You don't know if that's the owner. Or you can make like a perception check to see if you see the mayor or somebody who looks like the mayor.
How about this? Team meeting real quick. Bard.
Okay.
Leaf.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, Leaf. You're a massive specimen. I say we're getting in that tavern.
All right. Leave it to me.
This bar deserves a beer. I deserve to see the damn mayor. Thirsty. We're doing this.
We're not going to try and stop any of these people, see if they're possibly the mayor. I feel like we should maybe let him know about his house. I don't know what happened to it, but, you know, something happened to it. We should maybe let him know.
I say except for let's play coy about what happened to the house. Let's not mention the house. We can see if the mayor's there. But if we can, on you know, just as a little side thing, get the bar to drink.
That sounds fine. I'll get those doors open. Don't you worry.
You've never let me down in the past.
Okay, so you guys walk straight up to the guy who's locking the door, and he turns around and he says, "Hey there, travelers. I sound like Richard. Hold on.
This guy sounds a lot like Richard."
He says, hi guys. You know what? Sorry. We're actually closed up. You guys must be new. I've never seen you around.
I'm going to stop you right there. I'm going to put my hand on his shoulder and let him know, sir, I'm going to need you to open that tavern back up.
Okay. Go ahead and make an intimidation roll.
I'd also like to, just before we get violent, is there anybody inside the tavern?
No, you see, I it was last call and everybody left.
I don't believe him. All right, go
Is
ahead.
There a particular reason you're trying to get in here?
Intimidation. I'm not dealing with this fuck.
Roll intimidation.
I don't like the coat of his jib.
Oh my god. Okay, roll intimidation. A d20 plus 5.
That's a 20.
Oh my god. A natural 20?
No, it's a 15 plus a 5. That's okay, 20, well, right?
You put your hand on your shoulder and you tell him that you are... He's opening that doors back up and he is terrified. And he says, okay, I don't have a lot of money. And he opens the door for you and it's open.
I get right in there. I push those doors aside and I get right in.
He says, I'm not staying around for dark, though. And he throws the keys down on the ground and he runs to his house.
As he passes by, I ride the coattails of Leaf and her intimidation. And I just go, we're not here for your fucking money, you cook. And we walk in.
Okay. So he is gone. You guys have the keys to the Buffalo Wild Tavern and you're inside an empty tavern.
Okay. Also, I kind of just shoulder shove him as he walks by.
Okay. He stumbles and he flips you off and he keeps running.
Turns out I'm not as intimidating as you are.
Right. Where's Tito? Okay.
Tito.
I'm just like really just waiting for someone to pour me a drink. That's all I care about.
So far,
we've got
so
you
far,
into
this
the
is...
bar, and you're not even gonna. You now you want us to get you a drink?
Yeah.
So it's dark. All the candles have been extinguished. And there's nobody in there that you can tell.
I feel the need to lock the door behind us.
Okay, so you close the door and you lock it.
We do have the keys.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
alcohol.
What do you guys want to do?
I just want to get the bar to drink. That was literally the whole reason we came in here.
Okay. What do you order?
Just a beer.
A beer. Okay.
I'll grab her a beer.
Okay. So you find. So go ahead and give me a perception check.
All right. Oh man.
Ruby.
All right. I rolled a 16.
16 plus two, or
plus
you
two.
Rolled a
plus two.
Okay. 18. So you. Okay. Yeah. So you got an 18. So. You walk and you see a barrel that you assume is an ale, and you pop the cork and you pour a fine glass of ale. Actually, give me an acrobatics roll to see if you can tip this barrel over and pour a decent glass. Your acrobatics is plus 3.
All right, that's an 8, so 11.
8 plus 3, so 11. So that's average. You pour a decent glass of ale, and you now have a decent glass of ale.
All right. Slide it over to Tito.
Okay. So Tito.
I'm going to roll for that slide.
Yeah, roll acrobatics for that slide.
17.
17. You slide it better than you poured it. You were worried about it was going to slosh when you slid it. When Tito catches it, there's more beer in it somehow.
Right. And I just kind of make an observation of the bar and I go, wow, these countertops are really slippery and really nice.
Yeah, they're nice and waxed. So you guys are in an empty. You guys are now in an empty tavern. The faint smell of past cooked food is floating around the tavern, and you've just poured Tito a beer. What do you guys do?
I'm gonna grab the beer and chug the entire thing and slide it back.
Okay,
roll for chugging.
Yeah, roll. Just give me a chug roll.
I'm not the DM. Why am I?
One.
Oh, no.
You go to chug it and you pour it all over yourself and you got almost none of it in your mouth. Yeah. And so then you slide it back, roll acrobatics. A 10. You do an okay slide back. He gets
it. So like the whole thing's on my body.
Yeah, the whole beer is like all over you and on the floor. Then you slip an empty an empty mug back to Ruby.
I just look at Tito with like an unbelieved face, like, we just did all of this so I could pour you an amazing glass of ale, slide it down like the fucking Fonz, and you just dump it all over yourself.
Okay.
All right.
So now you have an empty mug. What are you guys doing?
I'd like to, what time is it?
You don't have any way of tracking the time, but you close the doors. When you close the doors, it was getting dark, and you're starting to hear faint noises.
All right, outside. I'm gonna go check out the window. Wait, it looks like there's only one window at the top. I'm gonna go upstairs, get a bird's eye view of what's going on outside, and just kind of, hey, what's all the hubbub, you know?
Okay, so give me a perception check.
All right. I don't think I'm the most perceptive. It's a 14.
Yeah, plus 2.
14 plus 2, 16.
With a 14, you see it's dark, and you're seeing shapes outside, sort of humanoid, walking around. But you can't really tell much more than that, except that they're walking around, and you hear maybe sounds of them talking. Not sure.
Okay. All right, I'm just going to yell downstairs. Hey, there's a bunch of people outside. I think maybe one of them's the mayor.
Okay.
All right, so, I'm going to sprint upstairs.
So uh-huh. You... Okay, so everybody's upstairs. Okay. What are you doing?
Should I set myself on fire?
If you want to.
No, I don't.
Okay. So right now we can't tell. They're just kind of dark humanoid shaped. We can't tell what they are, really.
Does anyone have anything? Yeah,
exactly. Okay. You can make a perception check if you want to see if you get better.
Yeah, sure. I'll try. I have nothing. I have no modifier for that. But...
Okay.
13.
13, you see the same thing. You just can see that there's people outside walking around just casually. It's kind of odd to you. Everyone was warning you about about the undead walking around at night, but you see people out there walking around.
It's people. We see people.
They're humanoid shapes. Okay. You're not 100% sure.
Okay.
Does anyone have anything that can light stuff up? I have a torch.
Can I see any like barrels or anything that we could like throw something at or set on fire, anything like that?
I have a torch, and there's a whole cask of whiskey downstairs. I say, I light the torch, you toss a barrel of whiskey down there with your muscles and all that. Mm-hmm. I'll light the barrel. It's on fire. I like the way you think, Leaf.
Okay, so is that what you guys are doing?
If everyone's on board.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so give me a strength check to make sure you can carry the barrel back up here.
I'm just glad we didn't have to do a perception check to see if it was, like, at least 100 proof.
I don't think there's any way for you to tell that.
Sure, you try to light it.
Okay. So give me a strength check to see if you can carry it up there.
Oh, no, a 3.
Oh, are you carrying it up there? Okay.
I don't know. I thought I was maybe the muscle. So, Ruby, you might, I might have hurt my back earlier.
You know what?
You could maybe
try. I'm on a hot streak right now, so I'll carry it up there. Don't you worry. 16.
16. Okay. So you do fine. You take it up there and, you set it next to the window. Who is going to try to light it?
Wait, can I light an arrow on fire?
Does anybody have a spell or a cantrip that allows them to light something on fire?
I have something that allows me to light me on fire.
That's true.
If all else fails, I can just run out there ablaze. What do you guys see? What do you guys see?
Pyrotechnics.
I have pyrotechnics.
I feel like I just carried this whiskey barrel up here for no reason.
Okay, are you guys going to try Taito's spell?
I'm going to take a big sip of this whiskey because I'm going to enjoy the fruits of my labor.
So this is what's going to happen. You go to...
If nothing else, so this I'm is gonna all happen. For that.
Leaf, roll an acrobatics check and a strength check. To throw the barrel, to pick the barrel up and throw it, and then you will roll a. You'll just roll a d20.
So do those need to be two separate rolls?
Yeah. So the first one was a strength check. So what was that?
A 10.
10. Okay. Plus... So you're struggling, but you pick up the barrel.
Okay. Oh no, and 11.
Okay, 11. So you throw the barrel out, and let's see if Taito can hit the barrel. Okay. Taito rolled a crit fail. So Taito shoots too early. So you pick up this barrel and you chuck it outside, and Taito fires fireworks on it, but it's too early, and it explodes right in front of you guys, or it catches on fire right in front of you guys. And you are worried that it's going to explode, but it actually falls down to the bottom, to that back door, and explodes and knocks the back door in. And all of these shapes look towards that door, and they start walking that way.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay, so I would just like to look at the bright side. At least we're going to know what's out there.
So, you guys, I believe right before the break, you asked how many shapes you can see?
Yeah.
Okay, so you see quite a bit, but you can't tell exactly how many. Right off, when you look down, actually give me a perception check. Right, you look down at the door, like right at the back door that just blew open.
That's crazy that we can see it from the top floor. That's nice.
Wow. Yeah, you're kind of like leaning out.
I'm just burning through these nat 20s for no reason.
It's kind of like a loft, you know?
Oh, nat 20? Okay, so you see exactly five figures. You see exactly five figures walking in. Three of them are moving faster than the other two. Two of them seem to be shambling.
Oh, God. All right, so guys, there's
Do you
there's
guys mind if coming. I'm going to do something right now that I should have done a long time ago.
Let's hear it.
I'm gonna light myself on fire.
You're gonna light yourself on fire right now?
Right now.
You guys are still upstairs, and the zombies are downstairs.
All right, I'm gonna run down to the
Wait, there's zombies?
I'm sorry, the figures. All right, downstairs.
Looks like we figured that out. Not gonna light myself on fire. Looks like we know what's going on.
All right, so five figures are entering the back door.
Yeah, they are. All right, so it looks like the party started. Do we know who's going first on this?
You guys are still upstairs, and they're all downstairs. All
right.
Maybe if we're quiet.
I think the time for quiet is over. We kind of blew up the fucking building. What if we try to get out to the front, kind of get some distance between us, start firing some arrows? I know that we could also probably... Wait a minute. We have the high ground.
Just what do so we got up here? Know,
if we've got something we can roll here. Down this... If we can roll something down them stairs...
Hold on. I have a spell that I can speak to the undead. Don't know they're undead yet.
Are you gonna... We know. But...
We don't know that yet.
Sure, we don't.
You guys have an idea because of what everybody's told you.
Right.
Just so you know.
Also, are you going to try to form like a peace treaty?
I can ask them up to five questions.
That's fun.
I'm trying to think. Also, I'd love to hear Chris do an undead voice. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so are you guys making your way downstairs?
Well, the bard is for sure.
Okay.
Y'all are coming with me. What the fuck? I'll literally bring nothing but claws.
So you guys, I barred first, and then Leaf, you said you bring up the back?
Yeah, okay, I'll bring up the rear.
So I'm guessing it's going Bard. It's going Taito, Ruby, Leaf.
As I had no say in this, but all right. Nope.
I thought...
You guys...
Yeah.
As you guys head down the stairs, I'm assuming you aren't trying to be like quiet or anything in particular.
We're going to have a conversation with them.
Okay, so you get down the stairs as those five figures round the corner. It's still dark in there, but you can at this point make out that there are three zombies followed by two skeletons walking through there. And would you like to try to initiate a conversation because they are advancing on you guys?
Yeah, can we like ask them why they're here?
Cast. Let me see.
I feel like our bard's diplomacy isn't quite to standard with her abilities.
Her board.
she's the only one that can speak for us, but at the same time...
You guys have something you want me to ask them?
No, please, you're the medium here.
I know, but like I'm the only one that can talk to them, so if you want me to ask them something, let me know.
Yeah, if you get a chance to get a word in on one of the skeletons, ask him if he can still get a boner.
Okay.
Okay. So you cast
If you have an extra question,
and you better say something quick.
I what?
You cast speak with the dead, and they are advancing on you. So you better say something quick.
I asked them why are they here.
Why are they here? Okay, so you say why are they here, and you see all five of them kind of stop for a second because they weren't expecting to understand what somebody was saying to them, and they say, "Master sins."
Oh, who's your master?
Pardon?
Master Sins?
Master Sins.
Who the fuck? Is that the mayor?
You said, why are they here? They said, Master Sins.
Must be Master Bates, Sins. Brother.
As in, like, S-E-N-D-S.
Master Sins? I don't know what that means.
Well, you
Just
know what? You got four more questions.
Just ask who their master is.
Who's your master?
Not. Wait, no, hold on, stop.
Oh.
Because they might just give you Master Sins again. Ask them who Master Sins... You know what? I don't even care who he is. Ask them where he is.
Where is your master?
Okay, so they say Master calls from holy place.
Shit. Okay, so they're not geniuses.
They're fucking idiots.
But they are willing to have a dialogue, and I think
that's important.
You said
you have five questions? You have three questions left.
I have three questions.
And they still... They're starting to look like they're getting maybe a little bit antsy.
Okay. Okay. So ask one more question that you think is going to be important, and then the last thing you should say is what's over there, and we're gonna run.
I feel like I should ask them like what their purpose is. Like, what are they doing in this town?
Ask them if they're flammable.
Okay. I want to know what their purpose is in town. I know their mayor or their master sent them, but why?
Ask questions.
Okay, why are you here? What is your purpose? So they're just being
assholes. Master wants terrorize.
Wow.
What's my last question that you
I'd
want
say
me
that
ask?
Was your best voice yet. That was believable.
Ruby, what do you want me to say last?
You have two more questions.
Oh, I have one more.
Two more.
Well, I already know this.
I forgot that I was Ruby for a second.
Leaf, do you have anything?
No, you have already asked the questions I wanted to know.
Great.
I'm thinking of a contingency plan. Good.
They start taking small steps towards you again.
All right. Ask them if they know Michael Jackson's Thriller.
I have to.
It's up to you. You're the one that talks to them.
What if I start like playing
What if you play Michael Jackson?
What if I start playing Thriller?
Don't, okay,
and they
don't
all
waste.
Start
yeah, don't waste the question.
Doing the dance
okay.
To distract them.
How about this? While you continue asking questions, let's have Leaf go upstairs, take a look around, see if she's got anything that could be advantageous.
Okay.
All right, I'm gonna slowly
I'll back you
make
up
my way
down
upstairs.
Here.
Yeah.
Make a stealth roll.
Oh God, I don't know if I even Ooh. Have. Oh yeah, I do. 17 plus 5. I'm fucking.
Okay, so you start to make your way upstairs, and they don't seem to notice. They're focused on Taito right now.
Okay. So.
Okay, I have a thunder wave spell.
Okay.
Okay, I guess the time for words is over.
What?
This is the time for words or whatever. Are you casting Thunderwave?
Kind of had a game plan.
We don't have any more questions and they're approaching us, right?
They're not attacking you yet, but if you want to attack them, you can.
Well,
maybe keep that in your back pocket.
Alright, I'll wait. That's all I got.
Let them get close to you.
I have a charm spell, and that's it.
Okay.
No more questions?
Play Michael Jackson.
Ask them to leave.
can you leave?
No leave, terrorize.
You should have said please. All right, play Michael Jackson's Thriller title.
Okay, I'm gonna play that music.
Okay,
roll
a d20.
This hasn't worked well in the past.
If you just a sweet nat 20 right now.
A 3. So Taito whips out that lute and goes to strum and snaps one of her chords on the lute, and the zombies and skeletons decide to attack. Roll initiative.
Me?
Yep.
7.
19 for Taito.
Oh, baby!
I got a 5.
So Taito goes first. And Taito also goes west.
I go west?
Fifel goes west? Never mind. Taito goes first.
Good reference.
Never mind.
Can I cast a spell?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
Okay, I have the Thunderwave spell and they're attacking, so I feel like I should attack back.
Yes, absolutely. You guys are in battle now.
Okay, great. So the second level.
So you need to click on Thunderwave. Oh, you already have it.
Yeah.
See if you hit. Eight. Oh, they may have to make a Constitution saving throw. So actually, it doesn't matter what you just rolled. Let me do Constitution. Okay, so you push one zombie and one skeleton away, and you do 3d8, 15 damage. Okay, so Z2. Okay, so you clap your hands together and a thunder wave shoots out and it knocks one of the zombies off its feet back towards the wall. It hits the wall and it is now prone, and one skeleton absolutely gets obliterated to pieces. The bones fly everywhere. So one skeleton is gone. And two zombies and another skeleton were not affected. So you basically blew a straight line, a thunder wave, and took out the middle of the pack. So now it is zombie number one's turn. And you just drew a lot of attention to yourself, so it is going to attack you. Oh my god. Okay. Does a 19 hit you?
On what?
Yes, it does. This right here. It's actually a 22, but... So it is going to slam you. So it grabs you by your shirt, I guess. Picks you up off of your feet, turns, and slams you on the ground for 5 damage. So you guys just see Taito get picked up with one arm and slammed on the other side of the zombies on the ground.
So and then she's now separated, like there's zombies between us?
Yeah.
I subtract 5 from that.
Yeah. So there's now I'm going to say that the zombies were in the backs, or the skeletons were in the backs, so and there's now two zombies in between you and Taito, and Taito is in between the zombies and the one skeleton. And then zombie number two is going to go, and it's not looking great, but it's going to lunge for you, Ruby, for 16. You leveled up, so it might be up.
14.
Okay, so it lunges for you. You take a step back onto the stairs, and it misses. Leaf, you're upstairs. You backed out, and you walked. You're at least at the top of the staircase.
Yeah.
So nothing can reach you from there. But
shit.
I feel
like I can't go upstairs now, though. I feel like I can't leave the bard.
Yeah, asshole.
Zombie number three is actually going to lunge for you as well, Ruby. 20. Not natural 20, but it lunges. It has a 20 attack, so that obviously hits you, and it is going to it is going to also slam you. It's going to basically grab you, and it's going to try to slam you into the staircase. It does do that. So it grabs you, and it basically throws you back into the staircase for 5 damage. It's Leaf's turn.
Okay, so as I was making my way up the stairs, that thundering boom that Taito created catches my attention, and I realize they are in serious trouble. So I take just enough steps back down where I have a clear shot, and I'd like to try and throw one of my hand axes.
Okay, so you need to make a ranged attack, so just roll a regular d20.
Oh no. 2.
Okay. So you take that hand axe and you throw it and you miss everything, and it actually goes across the room and sticks into the wall, and you don't have it for now. And then It is Ruby's turn.
Okay.
Wow.
I'm in a little bit disbelief. Yeah, I'm in disbelief over our inconsistency. I'm going to bust out my short sword, and I'm going to go for the zombie that slammed me on the staircase.
Okay.
I'm going to roll for that, and I got a 11.
11, that hits. So go ahead and...
Well, 11 plus 1, 12.
Okay, well, it hits. So you said you're using your short sword?
Yes.
Okay, so go ahead and roll 1d6 plus 3.
3, so 6.
Okay, so you take that short... So the zombie just slammed you down, you're pissed off. You get back on your feet, and you take out your short sword, and you chop down on this zombie, and you hit it right in the head, and you kind of cleave halfway through its head. And it goes down to its hands and knees on the staircase, but it's not dead. So you pull your short sword out, and then one of the skeletons is going to take its turn. So the skeleton looks up at that Leaf who just threw an axe, and it readies its short bow, and it shoots 9. Does that hit you? Your armor?
14.
Okay. So it shoots an arrow and it zooms by you, not really that close. It sticks into the wall next to you and misses completely. The zombie in the back, or no, now it's Taito's turn.
I have a dancing light spell where it allows me to basically create I can combine the 4 lights that it creates to make it look like somebody or something. Can I do that and make it look like their leader and put it off in the distance?
You can roll deception with disadvantage because you don't know what the leader looks like.
Okay.
So the first one is a 22, but you need to roll disadvantage. The second one is a 10. So you create that image, and you're not sure what it looks like, so you just kind of create the shadow of maybe a intimidating figure, and one of the zombie that was against the wall looks at it and stands up and starts to head towards it. The rest of them are not fooled. So you have one zombie and one skeleton, or two zombies and one skeleton still fighting. One that is very bloodied, and one that is fine. The other one, the skeleton, is also fine.
So still my turn?
No. That was your turn.
You took him out of the fight, though, and I think that's important.
Now we have zombie number one is heading towards that light. Zombie two is very hurt, and they are going to try to attack you again, Ruby. 13. Does that hit?
That is not his. No.
Okay, so that zombie on its hands and knees just takes a really lazy swing at your feet, and you just easily step out of the way. And then it is Leaf's turn.
All right.
Time to redeem yourself.
Can I throw my other hand axe?
Sure.
Make it arranged. I feel like I'm still trying to make it down the stairs.
You're about to be out of axes.
Are you? Wait. First, it's important. Are you targeting the?
Oh, whatever.
So
one's
you have a zombie that is walking away, a almost dead zombie on its hands and knees, a fine zombie that it is right now looking at Taito, and then a skeleton that is not been hit yet.
Okay, I want the one that's going for Taito. Maybe let's try and take that one out and hopefully not hit Taito in the process.
Okay. So go ahead and
tackle. 18.
18 hits for sure.
Yes, baby.
Okay, so.
What is my hand axe?
Your hand axe okay. is.
5.
1d6. No, 1d6 plus 2.
Okay. 7.
7, and that's plus 2, or you hadn't added the 2 yet?
That's plus 2.
Oh, well, it's d6, yeah, so it has to be plus 2. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so you take that hand axe and you chuck it, and it sticks in the back of the zombie's head, and it takes 7 damage. It turns and looks at you, and it is now Ruby's turn.
And I'm feeling good. I'm really just... she's kind of rallied the troops on that throw. So, you know what? Part of me wants to finish off this bastard that tried to hit me up against the stairs. But also, I know that, you know, service before self. I'm going to try to... What's the closest one to the bard?
It is the one that has an axe sticking out of its head now. It is now looking at Leaf.
Oh, perfect, because that's right in theme with, you know, my whole motivation.
So let me set this up for you. You are standing on the staircase. There is a zombie directly in front of you on its hands and knees. Almost, it's looking terrible.
Yep.
Bleeding from everywhere. And then directly behind that is a zombie that is now looking up above you at Leaf.
Right. I want to shoot an arrow at the one that has an axe in its head. I know just, you know, from a okay. Yeah, a rational human being standpoint, that'd be the last one that you'd want to go for. But I'm looking out for that bard, even though I'm a little bit... I think their motives are questionable at this point.
Okay, go ahead and roll an attack roll.
Right. 17.
17. All right, yeah, you hit. Go ahead and roll, what is that? 1d8 plus 3?
3.
A 3 plus 3?
Plus 3, yeah.
So 6. Okay, so you pull out your bow real quick, and you dock an arrow, and then you... Or you knock an arrow? Whatever. And then you pull it back, and you let a rip, and it goes right into the zombie's cheek, basically right below its cheekbone. Goes through the back of its head. It stumbles back a little bit. Okay. And then it doesn't go down, but it looks at you now.
Jesus, resilient bastards, aren't they?
Okay. So now it is the only skeleton standing's turn. And it is still looking up at Leaf. So it's going to attack. Okay. That is a 22. It didn't get critical 20. It's 17 plus 5, so 22.
Wait a minute. Is it going to take something special to kill these things?
Not necessarily.
It seems like they just obliterated whenever there was thunderclaps. But it feels like when we're using, you know... Yeah, sorry. Just... I say we blow up Buffalo Wild Tavern.
Does that 22 hit? I have to finish this thing.
Yes.
Okay. So.
Oh wait.
That skeleton.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. 1d6 plus 2. So it fires a bow at you and it hits you in the arm. Takes a good chunk out of your arm for 5 damage.
Oh Jesus. And it's the same. It's the same arm I also put into the door, so it's just like extra tender.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna yell out, "No, that's her door hitting arm."
It's really pissing you off. So now it is back to Taito's turn.
Okay, who's closest to me?
There is a zombie. The zombie that they've been attacking is now focused on Ruby. It's right in front of you. It's the one that slammed you on the ground, and then the other one is walking towards that light still.
Okay, can I just use my claws to attack the person that...
In front of you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My rolls have gone so well so far.
That's a 5. So, you scramble to your feet, and you swipe, but the zombie... You actually just hit the zombie's clothes, and it turns and looks at you again. And it's a shame that you drew its attention, because it's now that zombie's turn. that other zombie is still walking towards the light. It's basically at the front entrance now, because I'm going to say that's where you put that image. This zombie is going to attack you. 15, does that hit you? Yes, it does. Okay. So it is going to slam you again.
Perfect.
It's going to grab you, and it's going to be like, well, I mean, it doesn't say anything, but you get the idea that it's thinking you didn't learn the first time, and it's going to slam you on the ground. Oh, I'm sorry. It wasn't a 15. It was a 13. Yeah, that hits. So 3 damage. So it slams you on the ground for 3 damage again, and now you're prone again. And it is back to Leaf.
All right. Have I made it to the bottom of the stairs yet?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you can use your movement to get to the bottom of the stairs. So now you are standing next to a zombie that is basically prone. It's on its hands and knees, really doing like it's hard. It's not sorry. It is having a hard time.
It's what? Oh God!
Zombie is hard.
It is having a hard time.
If you are just too much to handle, they're hard.
And then you have
just want to point out that I did that to him.
So you have a zombie on its hands and knees to your left. There's a zombie's back to you, directly in front of you, and then on the other side of the zombie and on the other side of Taito, there is a skeleton who is still trying to target you with a bow, wasn't it? He's putting another arrow on his bow.
And one of them is hard.
Where am I in relation to all this? Am I right in front?
Yeah, so you're basically to the left, slightly behind Leaf, where the one on its hands and knees is. You're right in front of that one.
Okay, so she's basically just run down right next to me.
Yes.
Okay, hold on. The old game plan. It's never let us down. I could light myself on fire right now.
All right. I also would like to go into rage just to make our old game plan that much better.
Okay. Okay.
You're raging harder than that zombie's boner right now.
You gain advantage on strength checks and saving throws, not attacks. +2 to melee damage with strength weapons. Resistance to bludgeoning, piercing, slashing damage. You can't cast or concentrate on spells while raging. Okay?
Okay.
Perfect. Leave the concentration to me.
So, Ruby, you are setting yourself on fire?
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't you this time go ahead and make a
roll for
just
that?
Roll a d20. Yeah, just roll a d20.
Right. D20. 10.
Yeah, you get it. Okay.
All right, so before I... It's obviously it's a magical spell that I have to cast, so I'm just going to say the enchantment.
Okay.
Heart, stars, and horseshoes, clovers, and blue moons, pots of gold and rainbows, and the red balloons, and then I burst into flames.
Okay, so you say all that real quick. You burst into flames. Go ahead and make a strength check for me with advantage, Leaf. Because it's a strength check, you get advantage.
11. And
roll again.
Oh, God.
Oh, wait, what was your... Sorry, were you not done adding?
Yeah, no, I wasn't.
Okay.
Where's my strength? +5. 16.
Okay, yeah, you pick up Ruby... and then make an acrobatics check, or actually make a ranged attack for me. Oh, who are you targeting, by the way? The zombie with his back to you?
Yeah, I don't. Well, let me pass that over. As I'm lifting up Ruby, I'd like to do an aggressive whisper, like, "Hey, who am I passing you at?"
I have no preference. I'm just ablaze right now, and I'm screaming, "Catch me, Lucky Charms!" Whoever I hit is good enough for me. I'm just as upset as you are at this point.
Okay.
Also,
go ahead.
No, so
The closest one. I really
while you're to while you're holding through. Ruby, uh-huh. I want you to make a dexterity saving throw, and Ruby, I want you to make a roll in attack roll, but -6.
19.
19? Oh, okay. What was your attack roll?
17.
Okay. So somehow the flames on Ruby do not burn you.
Oh. It's the connection.
It's yeah. This is our signature move. If this was the WWE, horns would be playing right now.
So who are you targeting?
The closest one.
Yeah, that one. So does that mean it's the one on its knees and I'm going to just
Holy
body
shit.
The one that has the one that has one health?
Okay, not that one. The one with the back to us.
Yeah, yeah, let's do that one. He's upright. I feel like I could blitz through him a lot easier. If you just slam me on the ground, that's...
We do have that one that's, like, still off in the distance.
Yeah, that one is... That one has not turned around and come back at you guys yet. It's still distracted.
Perfect.
Okay, so who are you targeting?
The one with its back towards us. It seems like a more linear shot.
Okay. Is that who you want to target, Leaf?
Yes.
Okay.
Wouldn't
so
it be weird if we just the whole thing fell apart because she couldn't agree with me?
Why did you that one?
Did you already make a ranged attack?
Seven.
Oof. Do you have plus anything?
What would I add to that?
Oh, to a ranged attack? Do you have any? Let me see what you have. Oh, geez. Okay, plus five. Yeah, you hit it. We're actually going to cut. I mean, let's say if you throw things, it's going to be plus two, but you'd still hit it.
Okay,
so you chuck Ruby at that zombie that is not looking at you, and you hit it in the back. And I'm going to have you make a 1d6 roll. And what did I say for you before, Ruby, for your fire? 1d8. I'm going to do 1d8. And Taito, you need to make a dexterity saving throw. So that's going to be, you're going to add 3 to whatever it is. Okay. What was your guys's?
3.
3?
8.
8. 16. So you take 4 damage from the fire, and that zombie gets hit, falls on top of Taito, which is why Taito takes. So you throw Ruby. Ruby hits the back of this zombie that is currently slamming Taito into the ground. The zombie falls onto Taito, catches on fire, and then Ruby, you roll to the feet of the skeleton, and you actually catch it on fire and does 4 damage to that skeleton. Which is the first time anyone's done any damage to the skeleton.
Leave it to the signature move.
So there's a zombie on top of me now.
Oh, you know what? I need to make a constitution saving throw for the zombie because... Okay, so that zombie is dead. He is on top of you and he's on fire and you took 4 damage from that, and if you don't do something to get it off of you, then your next turn you'll take more damage. So Ruby... Okay, you're at the foot of the skeleton. You set it on a fire. It is now your turn. Actually, that was your turn. You guys worked together and used both your turns for that attack. So now it is that skeleton's turn. That skeleton is going to try to shoot a flaming arrow that is now caught fire because of it being on fire. It's going to try to shoot a flaming arrow at Leaf. So that is a 9. Hit,
14,
right?
Baby, no.
So that skeleton is trying to shoot an arrow, but it's on fire. It can't see very well. It shoots past you, a flaming arrow that hits the side of, that hits the wall upstairs, and a small fire starts to catch on the walls of Buffalo Wild Tavern. And you all remember this place is full of liquor.
Now we remember it. Now that there's been an arrow.
Now that fire has started to spread everywhere.
Rightly so. We've caught a lot of things on fire.
And you also are noticing a light coming from the back door, and as Ruby, you look, since you've rolled downstairs, you look and you see that the doorway is on fire. Okay, so now it is...
Aren't I on fire? Is this...
Yes.
How do I take this news?
Basically, everything is on fire right now. So, Taito, it is your turn. Taito, you have a dead zombie that is on fire on top of you.
I'm going to shove it off of me.
Okay, do a strength check. 12 plus 0. You barely get it off of you, but you take another point of damage.
Perfect.
Taito, if I may.
Yes.
The building's probably coming down, so... If you could do a spell that's maybe gets us the fuck out of here, might be beneficial. maybe a thunderclap to the side of the wall. Maybe...
It's called a thunder wave.
Whatever. Pikachu, use your thunder strike or whatever it is. Oh, I feel so bad for being a dick to the owner of Buffalo Wild Tavern now.
Go over here. Sprawl away to the top.
Yeah. Intimidated him and then burned his tavern down.
And then just fucking ruined his livelihood.
So what are you targeting with your thunder wave?
Am I trying to get the people away from us? Or am I trying to, like, knock us out of the building? Is that a possibility?
I just want to leave. I just don't want to be in a burning
building. Blast a hole in the side of it. Maybe.
I feel like we could probably knock ourselves out of there before it crashes down.
Through where?
I don't think you can knock yourself anywhere. Shit. It's like a projectile you shoot away from you.
I guess I can.
Ooh, unless you're in the water. I wonder if that would work if you could just like a weird jet propulsion thing. Side note.
Maybe, but you're not in the water.
We're not. We're in the fire.
The water. I guess I can just like knock a hole closest to the wall, like near us.
Okay.
So that we can escape.
Okay, so go ahead and roll an attack roll. Oh my god. Okay,
why?
We're Taito not leaving, are we?
Crit fail. No. So Taito forgot to get up, and when Taito went to clap, she actually hit the ground and then came down and slapped her own hand, which shot the thunder wave into the ground. But since there's no room for movement, Taito flung herself into the air.
So you can push yourself. Perfect.
You slam into the roof, and you take... a D8 of damage.
Are you on the second floor
damage.
Now?
I take zero damage, guys.
So Taito hits the roof and then falls right on top of that skeleton, knocking it prone. And it is now... and it is kind of funny.
I'm rubber, you're glue.
And also Taito broke her lute during that. So now Taito cannot play music.
No.
She can still sing, though, right?
Yeah, she can sing. That zombie is now that zombie number one's turn, and it stops going towards that image that Taito created and starts heading back towards you, but it's way too far to get to you during its turn, so it gets most of the way there. And then it is zombie number two's turn, who is on his hands and knees, still
so far.
Now it is right next to Leaf, and it's going to try to swipe, and it's going to have disadvantage. So the first one is 20, second one is 20. 20, but not natural 20 that it hit. So I'm guessing it hit, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so it is going to do 1d6. So you stopped paying attention to the zombie. It grabs your ankle and throws you over the staircase ledge, and you fly into a table, and you smash to the ground for 5 damage.
We're all spread out now. Wait, no, when he threw me, I guess we were all spread out, so I guess just me.
It is now Leaf's turn.
Am I near any windows?
From what the picture shows on the map, there's no windows downstairs. They've been boarded up.
Oh, jeez. All right. So I could punch through one if I really needed to.
Yes, you could if you rolled a high enough attack roll. Your partner, one of your partners is at the feet of a skeleton, and the other one...
Who am I closest to right now?
The other one is on top of that skeleton. two of your partners are laying side by side, and one is on top of a skeleton.
Which one's top of the skeleton? Taito?
Taito is.
I landed on it.
And there's... Oh, you know what? So where you landed was about where that zombie that was coming back from that was distracted one is about right next to you.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And on my way, I see Tidal mounting that skeleton. I'm like, hey, we'll do that later. Like, this isn't the time.
Okay.
And I
we're not at Albert and Sons anymore.
Yeah. All right. I'd like to take out my great axe. I don't know if that counts as a...
No. Yeah. You pull out your great axe. Yeah.
All right. 13.
Yeah, you hit. So okay. Go ahead and roll 1d12 plus 2, and you add 2 on top of that. So 1d12 plus 4.
10.
10, okay. So you grab your great axe, and you swing, and you hit that zombie directly in the chest, and it flies off its feet and lands on a table and slides across the table, and then lands on the other side of the table, and it's prone. And it is now Ruby's turn. Ruby, you are prone. Before if you want to not have disadvantage on things, you have to use your movement to get up. There is a zombie next to you, and Taito is laying on it.
In relation to how on fire am I from 1 to 10? How on fire am I?
You're still super on fire.
Still super on fire.
Which would be, like, let's say, like, an 8.
Okay. I don't think fire is going to help us in this scenario, though. I think we have enough of that. Christ, I just don't think I'm going to be of much help at this point.
Fire is starting to... You do a perception roll.
8.
Okay, with an 8, you can tell that... you look over, and fire is starting to get close to the where the alcohol is. It's starting to creep up around the shelves and whatnot.
That's not good.
No, it's not.
That's bad for everybody. All right, it seems like we should probably stay on the track of vacating the premises. I'm no coward, but I'm going to get up and move towards the stairs, if that's okay with everyone else, and I would hope that everyone follows.
Going upstairs?
Yes. There's a window up there.
Well, actually, your move is getting up. You can't... So
I'm going to get up, but just spoiler alert, that's where I'm heading.
Okay, so do you want to do any attacks?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, in the theme of fire, I'll go ahead and pull out my... Wait, aren't I, like, right next to...
You are, like... at your feet is a skeleton with Taito on top of it.
All right. How do skeletons like fire?
They don't. They like fire about as much as anything.
So it's more of a tool for them, not so much as a blanket?
Yeah, it's not really like they don't particularly prefer to be covered in it, but they...
Perfect.
They aren't, like, weak to it.
All right. I just like to give that skeleton a hug then.
Okay. Would you like to try to move Taito?
Yeah, I'm going to tackle the skeleton. I'm going to do like a weird soccer tackle where I boot the skeleton out from under her.
Okay, so you're going to slide and try to kick the skeleton out from under Taito. Okay.
That's an unarmed strike.
Make an acrobatics check. And you give me a dexterity saving throw, Taito.
Okay, I rolled a 6.
Okay. Okay, so you don't kick the skeleton out from underneath Taito, but Taito saw what you were trying to do and rolled a 22 and did like this weird push-up thing where she just did like a push-up into the air, spun, and landed on the other side of you. So you are now basically spooning the zombie, or the skeleton.
Perfect. That's fantastic. Okay. That was kind of the end result for me. Anyway, I kind of wanted that.
Go ahead and give me a 2d8.
7?
7. Okay.
And wait, and 2, so 9.
So 2, so roll a d8 twice.
I did.
Oh, okay.
9.
Okay, 9. So you hug the skeleton, and it catches a flame and burns to a pile of ash.
2 birds with 1 stone.
And now it is Taito's turn. Taito, there is a zombie that, for the longest time, has looked like it should be dead on the staircase. And a zombie that has just been knocked off its feet by...
How far away are they?
They're both 10 feet away. 5 10 feet away. Yes.
Okay, can I just do like a general attack on the one that is like basically dead?
Yeah, you could run up to that zombie and go ahead and give me an attack roll with advantage because it's not even looking at you.
Is that a move your character can make?
Go ahead and roll again. Because you have advantage. Oh my god, how? So this is the third in a row critical fail that Taito has rolled.
It was a one each time.
Taito runs up to punch that, to attack that zombie and with claws. Tries to pounce on its back. Overshoots the zombie and goes face first into the stairs. Go ahead and roll a d6.
Clearly.
You take, she takes 5 points of damage and knocks out a tooth. And then slides down the stairs and is face to face with the zombie. And the zombie's looking at Taito like, what the fuck, dude? What the fuck? I'm so ready to die.
Right? And the zombie... Oh, I feel like I should have ended him a long time ago.
Okay, so now it is
I really tried.
It's that zombie's turn, and that zombie's going to reach for you. Make a dexterity saving throw.
Yes.
I think you should have probably made for the exit.
Oh my god, almost a nat 20. So the zombie grabs you. You tried not to, but the zombie grabbed you. The zombie is going to try to do... is going to try to slam you, but he's going to throw you as hard as he can up to the roof. Oh, I'm sorry. Actually, he is going to attack you. That was your save. So he's going to hit you with 1d6. So the zombie tries to throw you at the roof, but at the weird angle that the zombie is, he just basically like kind of throws you over the staircase towards where Leaf was, and you hit a table next to Leaf for 3 damage. 4 damage. And now it is Leaf's turn.
All right, so I'm still in it with this other skeleton and or zombie.
Yeah, so the zombie is on the ground now across from you, on a table across from you. He's on the ground after being thrown over the table by your axe.
Am I allowed to, like, try and, like, make a run for the exit? And the exit's on fire.
Oh, you know
Everything's on fire.
I'm so sorry, Leaf. It's that zombie's turn, but that zombie used its turn to get up. So
Okay. Now
it's your turn. So the zombie's standing now.
All right, we're locked eye to eye. And am I near an exit that I can get out, or no? Everything's just on fire.
There is an exit behind that zombie that is not on fire yet. But you'd have to pass by the zombie, and you'd have to leave your friends behind.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm just trying to suss out. I would never. Okay.
So, So just to put in perspective, Taito just landed next to you on a table and is just laying on the table.
Don't worry about me. I'm very dexterous. I've got great acrobatics. I'll be fine.
Ruby is cuddling a pile of ashes now. And it's just this zombie and one on the staircase.
All right, I'm going for
I've
this
hugged
zombie
a lot
then.
Of people in this campaign so far.
It's working well.
I know. It's never failed me. Why fix it if it's not broken?
Exactly. I'm going to... Take a swipe at this this zombie that's standing between me and sweet freedom that's not fire.
Okay, go ahead and make an attack roll.
My next move is going to be shooting a fire arrow at that exit.
18.
18 hits. Go ahead and are you using your? I'm guessing you're using your great axe because that's all you.
Yeah.
Have left. Okay.
Yeah.
So go ahead and make a 1d12 plus 4 because you're still raged. 12?
Yeah.
Oh, that's... Okay. So, you do exactly enough damage, and you... first let me roll before I say you cut its head off. You hit it in the neck, and you're not sure if its head fell off, but it hits the ground. And... okay, it's dead. Yes. So, yeah. So, you look down, and you see that its head went rolling across the floor. So there is one zombie left, so technically you guys are still in initiative, and it is Ruby's turn.
Okay, so where am I in relation to the rest of the party?
You are on the ground at a little, like about 3 feet away from the bottom of the staircase, and your party is, from where your head is pointing, they're about 10 feet above where your head is. So they're basically in the lobby where people would eat, like the dining room. Right. And you're basically at, like...
the stairs.
The stairs slash where the bartenders would be.
I'm going to use my entire turn because it's, what, 3v1 at this point?
3d1?
3 versus
1. Oh, yeah, one. Yeah, yeah. Yes. And that one is very... I don't know. I honestly don't know how that one's still alive at this point.
Oh, that's still the one that I put a short sword through his noggin?
That's the one I tried to kill. And
nobody has been able to kill it.
Who would have thought that was going to be the last bastard alive? All right. Yeah, I'm going to keep his suffering going, and I'm going to just fucking go. I'm just going to...
Okay. Okay, yeah, so you
I
start...
Just went I just turned into an Australian. I'm just going to fucking go.
So you start booking it towards the exit. It's back to Taito. What do you want to do?
Is this a bad time to do the healing...
You see Ruby booking it towards the exit, and make a perception roll.
9 plus 2,
so with an 11, that's better than average. You look over and you can kind of see that the fire is dangerously close to the alcohol.
So can I make a run for it as well?
Yeah. That's it. Then the zombie's turn. It tries to start moving towards you guys, but it's on its hands and knees and it's almost dead. It kind of tries to crawl down the rest of the stairs and tumbles down, hits its head and dies. And then it is now Leaf's turn. Actually, I have to see if it comes back to life. It took 1 damage. It comes back to life. It's... the zombie hits its head, and you see a look of peace on its face, but then its eyes open back up, and it starts to try to stand up. And
just back into sheer agony.
and it is now Leaf's turn.
I'm making my way to the exit. I've had enough.
Okay, so you guys all run out the front door. And you're expecting it to explode as soon as you get out. But you all get out, and you keep running, and nothing happens. And you turn around, and you just kind of, like, watch it for a minute, and it's just kind of burning. And then there's a small little explosion. But then it just catches on fire faster. This is really kind of anticlimactic. And then now the whole building is on fire. And it is – the sun is coming up. It is dawn. And
that was the longest battle of my entire life.
And William, the owner of Buffalo Wild Tavern, walks up and just falls to his knees and is just staring at the building. And citizens are starting to gather.
All right. In for a penny, in for a pound. I say we keep berating this man.
God, kick him while he's down.
I mean,
yeah, okay, all right.
You hear, so you guys go to berate William in his worst time of his life, and you hear a voice say, "You three," and you turn and you see a slightly better dressed man than normal, pointing at you and walking towards you guys.
And I just kind of look over at the bard and Leaf, and I say, do you guys notice that guy's, like, slightly better dressed than everyone else? Not a lot, just kind of slightly better. I just took note of that.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's see what he has to say. He is slightly better dressed.
Speak for yourself.
So he arrives to you and he says, Are you three responsible for this?
Nope.
Wasn't me?
All right, we're going with a lie.
I'm pretty sure
I'm still on fire.
All
That's
going
to be a hard one to sell.
Well, it was only... all of you roll disadvantage. Ruby, you with disadvantage. I mean, sorry. All of you roll deception. Ruby, you with disadvantage.
Roll for disadvantage.
Because I'm on fire. I rolled a 10.
Nat 20. You said nat 20?
Nat 20.
Okay, yeah. Let me roll. Let me see what this person rolls. Okay.
Wait. I've changed my entire perspective on this. It was only me. These two had nothing to do with it.
Okay, so this person looks at you and then looks at Leaf and Taito and says,
"That one looks pretty innocent," and points at Leaf and says, "You two look like you just burned down a man's business and his livelihood. But I recognize you. And you're the heroes, aren't you?"
Oh, Christ, it didn't matter what we did in that scenario. We were off the hook. That's us. We're the heroes. Come here to save the town one building at a time.
Listen, I'm going to have to talk to whoever's in charge back where you guys come from about burn down a whole damn ass building, but come talk with me. And he starts heading towards the mayor's house. Do you guys follow him?
Yes.
No, I think we're going to go head over to Richard's. It's been a minute. I've been trying to get over.
Okay. So you guys go to the mayor's house and he walks in and he says, you guys want anything to drink?
Yes.
Yeah? No?
No?
Okay. And he pours a glass of some amber liquid and hands it to you. Taito. And so then he says,
"Listen, I mean, I haven't got to talk to you guys when you guys got here, but what have you figured out? I mean, anything?" Well,
Yes. I'm flattered you asked. Jesus Christ, hold on. Yeah, we figured out that your house is pretty well fortified. We've also figured out that there's a bunch of undead folk that are tearing up your town every night, hence the fortification on the house. What happened to your shutters?
He looks over at his shutters and he's like, "Well," and you can see he's hung a blanket over it now. And he's like, I reckon, and I don't know why I'm Western when everyone else seems to be from all over the place, but I reckon
it's pretty much, you know, on par with everything else we've experienced so far. So
I reckon I've
stopped questioning it.
I reckon some of them motherfucking zombies or something ripped my shutters off trying to get in here, but I'm smarter than that. I put bars on them, you know. But anyways,
that's unfortunate.
I'm sorry. What did you say you figured out?
That's pretty much it. We've just figured out that there's zombies and that. Who's the guy who owns Buffalo Wild Tavern?
Oh, that's William.
Don't like him. All right.
You don't like it. William? Everybody loves William.
Rubbed me the wrong way. Something about him. Glad his building burnt down. but that's no buts. Don't have anything for you.
I know y'all been here only one night, but have you figured out anything about what's going on here?
Masturbator. Master Sin.
Huh?
Master Splinter. The Master
Their
of Sin.
Their Master sent them.
Their Master sent them.
Wait, is he called the Master of Sin?
No, they said Master Sinned, S-E-N-D.
Oh, I thought he was the Master of Sin.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I like that.
Their Master sent them.
So you're telling me that these undead are being sent by someone, not just a random occurrence?
Correct.
That's interesting.
If you trust the word of a zombie or a skeleton, that's what we've gathered.
You telling me you all talked to a zombie?
Nope, just that one.
Yes, I did.
Wow, that's interesting. Did that zombie happen to say anything about where they're from?
No.
Didn't?
Can we do like some kind of perception check on the mayor to see if he's like a good...
Sure.
He's on the up and up.
Sure.
Wait, who has the best perception bonus? Because it seems like this is kind of a free thing.
Not I.
Oh, wait. Now I remember. The zombies said they were from a holy place.
A holy place. What could that mean? I mean, we got that old church. No one uses it anymore, though. And it's been
the abandoned church.
And I've had it locked up. Ain't nobody getting in there. Y'all check it out?
Not yet.
Unfortunately, we spent most of our day getting bread and having sex with the locals. And weren't able to get around to checking out the church. However, first thing I noticed when I walked in was what a great church that was. And really planned on checking it out.
Leaf, did you want to do a perception check?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know
but
my
perception. I think it's too late because I feel like we've already like given you all the information we know.
No, not quite.
Go ahead. You can do one.
What's our perception?
Well, I think we all should because I just got a 5.
Okay. You think he's an all right dude?
I perceived that he's a little better dressed. That's it.
Do you all want to make a perception check?
Sure, I will.
5 as well.
No, you got an 8. Oh, or no, you got a 9 plus 2.
I don't have my glasses on.
Okay.
Okay, Ruby. I don't know. I don't know if I just rolled 4 tens in a row or if the website wasn't reacting, but I clicked 3 times and it said 10 every time and then it said 15. So I'm going to go with 15.
Okay. And your perception is plus 2, so 17. Okay, Ruby, you get the idea that the mayor genuinely is asking these questions and doesn't know what's going on. And it is maybe a little cowardly.
Hence the good clothes.
And the very locked up house.
That also would probably point more to cowardice than a nice shirt. All right.
So he says, so y'all haven't checked out that church. Well, I'll tell you what. And he reaches in his pocket and he pulls out and he's sorting through keys and he pulls a key off and hands it to whoever wants to take it. He just holds it out and he says, this is the key to that church. Maybe y'all can go poke around.
Wait, hold on. What is our motives here? What are we, why are we doing this?
I don't know.
For valor? Are we doing it for bravery? Are we doing it for money?
Well, y'all work for the Heroes Guild. I hired y'all to come in here. I assume whatever deal you worked out with the Heroes Guild is what's in it for you.
Oh, never mind. Looks like we're just already on like a payroll.
I'm going to go ahead and grab the key and suggest that we head to the church.
You would. All right.
As we head out, I look over my shoulder and I wink at the mayor.
He blushes and he pulls out a little handkerchief and starts fanning his face.
Oh.
he says, well now, that drink is still on the table for later. And he gives you a wink back.
Oh. I'm already out the door. I'm gone.
Okay, so you ignored him and walked out. Okay.
So, yeah.
Why the arbitrary wink?
You guys
because
had
it to... was just like a goodbye.
Okay. He didn't know that. He thought you were hitting on him. Okay.
That's all right. Just like my hug, that wink will take us further in the future. I know it.
Yeah.
Okay. So you guys get to that abandoned church. I'm trying to speed this along a little bit. What do you want to do?
Oh, go in.
I'm going to go ahead and use the key to open the front door.
Okay. So you unlock the front door.
Wait!
Yes.
I'm gonna go around back.
Okay. So Ruby stops you from opening the door and says that.
Okay. So I go around back.
Yes.
And Ruby goes around back. I'm just checking stuff out. I'm just making sure that we're not gonna walk into anything crazy because I mean this is our best guess at what the source is, right?
Yeah. It's just a plain brick wall.
There's no door.
There's no door. There you see a spot of like new brick that maybe you think there was a door that got bricked up.
Stanley Newbrick?
Stanley Newbrick is standing there.
Okay.
He says, howdy, and he walks away.
Why is everyone Western here? Or something else.
Okay,
well then, I'm going to go around to the front again. I'm just going to circle the building.
Okay, so you make a circle around the building. When you get back, Taito is still holding the doorknob.
Okay, and I'm going to look at Taito. I'm going to go, you guys will never guess who I just met. Let's go inside.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to go inside.
Okay, you guys go inside, and it is empty, and you start to walk towards the, I guess, podium. What are those things called?
The altar.
You start to walk towards the altar, and the door slams behind you, and you turn around, and a tiefling? I've never known how to say that.
Tiefling.
Tiefling? Okay. Mm-hmm. Starts walking towards you, and he says,
well, 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 if it isn't the rookie squad of the Heroes Guild come to stop the big bad necromancer.
Oh, well, that just made things a lot easier. We didn't even have to question him.
No, we didn't have to question the zombies either.
Oh, you guys didn't. I assumed that it led you, the information you had led you here, and I didn't have to, like.
Yeah, know. We're rookies. Okay.
Okay. Well, yeah.
I say we just roast this fucking asshole right now. Let's all go in on him.
Oh, well, okay. You're just lighting yourself on fire.
So are you guys attacking him?
What, are we not going to talk to him at all?
I'm pretty sure he lit himself on fire when he used that misinformation. Or too much information.
So
all right, so we're just taking him out.
We are?
So he... Sorry.
I was just going to insult him a bunch. I didn't really want to fight him.
Oh,
I just wanted to...
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Okay. So,
I feel like I have, like, insulting stuff.
Yeah, does he have any... Okay, can I use perception to see any insecurities?
Wait, I do.
Is he, like, barrel-chested and he's ashamed of it?
You can roll perception to see.
Why not? We're here. We're here and we're only, like, an hour over time. I rolled a five. It looks like he's gonna get by.
To your eyes, he is the perfect person.
Oh.
Listen, Tiefling, you're gorgeous, and I'm sorry about what I said.
Can I go ahead and cast a spell?
And then I wink at him, because that seems to be a thing that our rookie squad does.
He winks back. Yes, you can cast a spell.
Okay, I have a vicious...
Seems like we're off to a good start.
So basically it says, I unleash a string of insults laced with subtle enchantments at a creature you can see within range. If the target can hear you, it must succeed on a wisdom saving throw.
Oh, you know, I can just do this. Okay, so she's casting Vicious Insult 13. It wins that saving throw, so go ahead and cast some insults at it.
No, I was actually going to have to say something.
Yeah. Yeah, you're casting a spell. You have to sling insults.
No, he looks too cool.
Okay, so you go to try to insult this person, and you end up actually complimenting them. So he says,
why, thank you. I know I am quite dashing.
And he turns... And,
okay.
So he turns and he casts Mold Earth at the wall that you guys, at the door where the wall where the door is connected that you guys came through. And the ground, like, starts to do, like, a wavy thing, and then it just explodes outward, and there's a giant hole, leading to the outside now. And he says, let's take this outside. And he jumps through the hole. Do you guys want to go out there?
Yes.
No.
Yes. We have to.
Okay. Yeah. So you guys go out there and roll initiative. This is gonna be quick.
Sorry,
He's such a beautiful man. I was ready to convince him to not fight.
Of all the people to have sex with in this town.
I have a 17.
Or is he from 19. Here?
13. Okay. So you all go outside to fight him, and all of the debris from the wall that he just blew apart has slammed into buildings, and people are coming outside and looking at the commotion, and basically everybody in the town is making their way around to see this fight, and they don't know this person. They just see the three of you who just destroyed Buffalo Wild Tavern fighting a man they've never seen before.
Oh dear.
So it is... Sorry, it is Taito's turn first.
Have I used any of my third level spells?
Yes, one.
Like, we're fighting this bitch, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I have not.
You use one. You have one more.
Wait, we are fighting this bitch?
Yeah. You guys are now in combat.
Oh, yeah, I guess we already rolled this.
Can I use my Thunder Wave to attack him?
Yeah.
Okay. You know how well this went last time.
Yep.
Okay, so you hit. You hit. So you do 19. Is that 4? Yeah. You do, Jesus Christ, you do 19 damage to him.
And he's dead.
Nope. Shortest fight
so,
ever.
So, yes. So, with all the people in the town looking, Taito...
I fuck him up.
So before you guys start fighting, you guys circle, and his back is now to the church again. Mm-hmm. And Taito does a thunderclap, and it shoots him straight back into the church.
Okay, I just want to point out real quick. Where was that when we were all by ourselves?
Hey, I tried, okay?
Are you a PR fighter? Is that what you are? Is that you only do good if there's eyes on you, and then when we're alone in a burning Buffalo Wild Wings, all of a sudden you just turn it all off, start shooting yourself around with the same move?
Hey, Ruby, we really need to fight this guy. Can we discuss this later?
Sure. I guess it's getting late, or early, or whatever time it is in what we're doing. But
Leaf, it's your turn. And people from around, you hear mutters from the citizens, and somebody says, "Hey, what'd that guy ever do to you?"
I'm gonna yell
Where's
back.
Where's the mayor? Yeah. He trusted us implicitly.
First you burned down old Buffalo Bill's Wild Tavern, and then you just blast that guy through the church.
Can I try and deceive them?
More Western every time someone talks.
Yeah.
You can try to deceive them, or you could just tell them the truth. If you tell them the truth, you don't have to roll a deception.
Don't interact.
Okay. Oh, I was gonna say my. Oh, all right. Well, as I'm going in after him, but I'm gonna call over my shoulder and be like, "He's the one. He's it. I don't know something."
He's the one who's
making the zombies.
That's going to get actually, him on our side.
The mayor actually kind of pushes through the crowd. He's like, and he hears what you said, and he nods, and he turns, and he says, "That's the troublemaker." And so everyone's kind of cheering for you now.
I don't think that's cool. What the mayor sounded like over there.
Oh, but... yeah. Sorry. He says, "That there's the troublemaker." And everyone's like clapping. People start lighting torches. And Leaf, you run inside the church.
And I instantly, just so you know, I haven't forgotten the subtleties. That wink. It was the wink.
Yeah, so the mayor is absolutely on your side. So I'm just going to go ahead and say that all three of you run in behind. So the two of you run in behind Leaf. Leaf, what are you doing? He is getting up from a pile of rubble on the far side of the church.
Hey, Leaf.
What do I do?
Yeah.
Do you want to throw my burning corpse at him again?
Yeah, I feel like that's been a winning combo for us.
Let's do that.
Okay, so
we're just in a fighting game, mashing one button over and over.
So Ruby, go ahead and roll a d20.
Sixteen.
Okay, so you successfully light yourself on fire.
Hearts, stars, and horseshoes, clovers, and blue moons.
Leave to a strength check.
19 plus 5.
Oh my gosh. Okay, yeah. Now do a ranged attack.
As he's saying,
pots of golden rainbows and the red balloons.
Am I allowed to add anything to this?
Your range, yeah. So your attack roll is plus two for range attack.
Ten.
Okay, so you guys are, you two are just so stoked to be doing this again, and you take a step forward and you chuck Ruby, and Ruby falls short. Ruby hits halfway. Ruby hits about halfway to. To the necromancer and slides to a stop about 4 to 5 feet in front of the necromancer.
What's the terrain like?
The what?
The terrain. What are we looking at here? Grass? Dried grass? Something more flammable?
You're inside. It's stone. So this is a stone. If you look at the map, it's a stone building. So your fire is fine. Your fire is not burning anything.
Well, I was hoping to catch a church on fire, perhaps.
Need to walk inside.
And now it is, the necromancer's turn.
Fuck.
Oh,
so he dusts himself off, and he looks at Ruby, who's just like pencil laying on the ground, like planking on the ground, just slid to a stop, and he says,
"Well, that was a bit harder of a hit than I expected, but pretty cute."
And he is going to cast... He's going to cast Lightning Bolt.
Lightning Bolt.
So a stroke of lightning forming from a line 100 feet long and 5 feet wide blasts out in a direction. This is probably the biggest bolt of lightning you guys have ever seen. Oh, he doesn't have to roll the hit. You all just have to make a... Dexterity saving throw. Okay, you're fine.
16 again.
You're fine.
13.
You are not fine. Okay, so being a magic user, Taito sees what's happening and dives out of the way. Ruby's on the ground. So... Ikis, which is the name of the necromancer, he casts a lightning bolt directly down the middle between all of the pews and hits you for 8d6. 20. He hits you for 20 damage. And that bolt hits you and goes actually through you, and it strikes the last supporting beam on the wall that has already blown pretty much to smithereens, and half of the church collapses, blocking the sight of the citizens from you.
Now we can do terrible shit again. Perfect.
And so, as the three of you get up, you guys are all looking at that wall, and you turn around to fight, and Ikus isn't fighting anymore. He is writing on a notepad, and you're kind of looking at what he's doing, and he walks over to the bard, Taito, and says, as he finishes writing, and he tears off that paper, and you can tell now that it's an invoice, and he hands it to the bard and says, "Please get this to your finance department with haste. I don't want to wait another week before I get paid." And he starts to head back to where he was just standing. Do you guys want to ask anything?
Yeah, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to go in on the bard at this point, and I'm going to have a whole line of questioning. I don't think I should have a whole line of questioning. I just got tossed and I'm still on fire.
So Ikus walked past you to get to the bard, mm-hmm. and he's now walking back towards you, but he's not in combat anymore.
So I can't just fucking give him one?
You can try.
No,
but you get the idea that he's much more powerful than you.
He's incredibly confident. I'm going to kind of sulk away past him, just kind of hope he doesn't notice me, and be like, to the bard, I'm going to say, "The fuck was all that?"
I mean, I feel like
Ikus interrupts.
I'll direct my line of questioning to Ikus.
Ikus interrupts when she starts talking, says,
Why are you going on the bard? Oh, hold on. Are you telling me that the Heroes Guild didn't inform you of the plan?
I knew it. I fucking knew it. I knew it. I knew it.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
You're not sorry.
I am. It was just part of the job.
Well, I knew those I knew those people were getting sloppy. Okay, well, let me do their job for you. You see, my name is Ikus Drebek. I work for the guild's villain department. You see, they pay us to come and cause trouble so that towns will pay for you to come and solve the problems. Let's just call it what it is. It's extortion. But that's none of my business. I make my money. I do my job. The fact that they did not tell you this is pretty sloppy on their end. You all might have gotten yourselves killed fighting someone like me. So he walks over, as he's saying this, he walks over and rips some boards up from the ground, and he pulls out a burnt corpse that is wearing the same clothes as he is, and starts to position it where he was standing when the wall collapsed. And then he starts to put those boards back into place, and he says, "You see, there will be times when there are actual criminals to stop. However, most of your missions will be people like me, villain contractors paid by your guild's secret villain department. We make about 80% of your missions. Not only are there less and less real criminals thanks to your guild, but small stuff like that just doesn't bring the money. That's where we come in. We are hired to cause trouble, maybe kill some people. And then your guild, like I said, extorts cities to come and fix the problem." And when he says this, you guys start to hear the sound of rubble being removed from the wall behind you. You want to say anything to him?
Wow. The Heroes Guild are the real villains.
I mean, call it what it is. It's business.
Far less upset with the bard at this point, but at the same time... I think I'm just as upset with the... I don't know. I don't know how to feel about this.
I'm pretty sure somebody must have told you that the bard was there to chronicle your mission and spread the word.
I'm going to stop you there. I'm going to stop you there, demon boy. Nobody told us a damn thing. We were all acting very... honorably up to this point.
We knew about it. That's why we didn't come at you with everything that we had. Because we knew you were...
I don't know you're the rookie crew, okay? It's okay. You'll get there eventually. Listen, we all work for the same company. And the rubble... You start to see light start to come through the rubble. And he says, looks like it's time for me to go. I can't have them seeing me here. That will totally blow everything. Have fun. Congrats on the new job. And he goes through that area where you saw the fake brick. It's actually a door. He opens it and closes it on hinges, and he closes it and he takes off. And a bigger and bigger hole starts to be cleared. And through that hole, you see Captain Kroner Sterling, who is one of the guild's highest ranking heroes. And Sterling says, look at this. Our rookie team has slain the necromancer terrorizing your small town. How about a round of applause, yeah? And the townsfolk all begin to clap and cheer. Sterling says, as you guys exit the building, and then Sterling says, okay, folks, these young heroes have much work to do. They must head back to the headquarters, but I will stay here and assist where I can. I see there's a large mess to clean up. And Sterling turns to you three and he says, the commissioner wishes to speak to you three. Head back to the guild and make haste. That's an order. And if you remember, you were told by your commanding officer to follow the orders of higher ranking heroes. He gives you all a quick smile and turns back to town as he walks away. The three of you, feeling confused and a bit disappointed, in your recent discovery, head back in the direction
from which you came. Hey everybody, Chris here. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, and I really hope that you enjoyed my one shot that I wrote called The Heroes Guild. I might write more depending on how it's received, so let me know on our Twitter page. But I just wanted to say a quick thank you to Gavin, Alexa, and Jess for filling in on such short notice. They really brought it, and they really saved my butt there. And a little bonus shout out to Gavin. He actually wrote, played, and recorded about 90% of the music that you hear in this episode. We wrote a little parody song about the mayor of Olark who would not answer the door. We're calling him the mayor of silence. So enjoy.
This song goes out to the mayor of Olark. He didn't answer the door when we were knocking. People are dying, man.
He wasn't home.
Very rude.
Hello, Mayor, my old friend.
Actually, we're meeting for the first
I've
time.
I've come to talk with you again about the undead softly creeping. Wake the townsfolk while they're sleeping. And the mission that was planted in my brain still remains. Yet you respond with silence.
Yoo-hoo!
On all our streets I walk alone.
Wait, wasn't there three of us?
On narrow streets of cobblestone. To your house and I knock on your door. Ripped off your shutters, threw them to the floor.
My bad.
When my eyes beheld the bars that kept you safe at night, 'twas locked up tight. Still you respond with silence. And in the pitch black night I saw at least five zombies, maybe more.
Oh shit.
Undead moaning without speaking. Undead shuffling without walking. Undead moving towards the fire that we hailed when the barcade failed.
We literally set everything
yet
on fire.
You respond with silence.
Where is he?
Fools that I you do not know. Silence like a undead grow. Hear my words that I might meet you. Answer your door, I will teach you. Richard said to come speak to you.
Remember when the bard shot herself away with that thunderclap or whatever she had?
But you're the mayor. Oh, silence. Hide and pray that the zombies go away. And here we are to help your town to keep the dead under the ground.
I thought it went well.
And the zombies said Master's words come from inside the church's walls,
and they answer his calls.
Yet you respond with silence.
You know, now that I think about it, he's probably not even home. Maybe we should just go try the pub. This song is very hard to dub over. Jesus. I hated doing that. That was so frustrating. I hope there's something we can salvage. If not, we can redo parts is what I'm thinking. But that's what I'm putting in for now because I can't. I'm literally on like 20 takes.